struggling to move your nonprofit forward? You've come to the right place. Welcome to the Nonprofit Architect, where we are giving you the actionable steps you need to launch and grow your nonprofit organization. Now, here's your host, Travis Johnson.
Hey, thanks for tuning into the show. But before we get started, I wanted to give you all the opportunity to hop in our group at facebook.com/group/nonprofitarchitect. We're running a contest right now for your chance to win a $200 donation. We're not just building stronger nonprofits by giving you the actionable steps to do what you do better, but we're also putting our money where our mouth is. And if you sign up for the contest, and the rules are in the group, that you will get the chance to win a $200 donation and have a direct, real-world, real-time impact to your mission. If you're struggling with fundraising, if you're unsure of how to handle a board, if you're not sure where to go and what your next steps are because you have this endless list of things to do, you can also sign up for the Nonprofit Architect Alliance Mastermind Group. Real easy, real low barrier of entry at $50 a month to get in with other leaders like yourself that find themselves stuck. Help let other people in the group solve your problems. If you're doing this thing as a solo shop or without a lot of support from your board, it's hard to know who to go talk to. It's hard to know what to do next. And if you're doing this alone, chances are you're not going to get very far. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go as a group. So also in the group, sign up for the Nonprofit Architect Alliance Mastermind Group and let the experts help build your stronger nonprofit each and every month. Now let's go to the interview. Hey, welcome. I'm here with Francisco Alargarcia. How are you today, sir?
Good, thank you. And you just rolling through life in my nice little four wheels of my wheelchair.
Rolling right on through. We're talking about today really kind of the how to get people involved in your mission when they've never had to suffer through the thing you're talking about. In Francisco's case, he's got a rare genetic disease, but I'll let Francisco talk about that because I don't even know what the heck it's called.
So thank you so much, Travis. It's called Pelizaeus-Merzbacher disease. And as you can see, that is a mouthful in a half.
I'm really glad I let you say it. I'll tell you that.
Believe me, I've lived it. I've lived with it for 26 years. And I can tell you, I still need to look it up on Google to get the proper spelling. Yeah. So what it does, it kind of affects my, it's a neurological condition. So it does affect like my motor, meaning like I can't ride as fast as someone or like my balance. So when I walk, I have to have like braces and crutches or to really be more out and about, like be in a wheelchair. But in my case, I have one of the mildest versions of it. So it's kind of, you know, and thinking about my own board involvement, it's kind of, I can bring a new fresh perspective, but I also am very, you have to be open, right? Because I don't know what these parents have gone through with their children or the struggles or the challenges, right? But there are underlying themes and underlying things that we can talk about, you know, supporting, empowering others and how to bring others into the conversation, right? So really strengthening the core people who are passionate about it, who have lived through it, and giving them the tools and resources to be spokespeople for it, right? Because some people may connect more with my story, while others may connect more with the story of a parent raising a child with a physical disability.
You know, every time I talk to people in the nonprofit world, which is every stinking day, and I love it. I love every minute of it. But you hear this over and over and over again. It's always the stories that really have the impact. And for someone like me, as far as I know, I wasn't born with a genetic disease. Maybe my family would say something different. I couldn't tell you. But you hear the stories is really the way to connect. And in the case with your rare genetic disease, the chances of someone in the audience and in the donor pool, people that you talk to, they're not going to know what the heck it is, nor are they going to understand how it really impacts the day-to-day life and what that could look like and how it could be better if you get the donations for. Well, what do you raise donations for? Are you trying to find a cure? Is it for living conditions? What really are you raising money for on this?
Great question. So it's kind of one in 500,000, right? That's kind of the more or less the average of who's born with it. And I think the biggest thing is the biggest focus is a cure for it, right? And there, because it is neurological, and because the typical case of a person born with what I have, it's across their life, it gets worse, right? And typically it is an early death. Well, in my case, that isn't what is going to happen with me. So really finding a cure. So these males, because it typically happens in males, so they have a better quality of life, right? And that's also part of the challenge, right? Because it happens in such a small segment of the population. Now it's like a further complication, right? And the fact that it is neurological to get to a cure, that's also much more difficult, right? But that doesn't mean we should stop trying to make it better, to improve the quality of life, to improve the access to medical care. So that's part of, the challenge and the things that we were working through is how do we balance both the long-term and the short-term goals of the nonprofit?
Oh, absolutely. And we're recording this in October, which is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So it's almost like you have your cause. You need to get it elevated to where you get a whole month named after your cause. I think that is super helpful. I'm still active duty Navy, and we've got people wearing all pink patches, a pink squadron patch, a pink name tag, a pink flag at work. You see in the NFL, they've got the pink ribbon, and they've got the awareness factor is super high for them, right? It's hard to donate to someone without the know, like, and trust factor. And if they don't know you, if they can't find you, it's much harder to raise money. But you really use your story to help craft together and lay out what life is like in order to help people, bring them into the fold and get them to donate. What does that look like when you're sharing your story?
For me, kind of one of the places that I started, which is not the typical place, would be LinkedIn, right? If we think about the platform that executives are, that other nonprofits are, right? It can be a great place to really start the conversation of strategic partnerships, right? And I think about in my own role as a former committee member is how can you collectively build towards something greater, right? When you don't have one that the name appeal and the awareness, we have to get creative and in working with others and making them a part of the story. So for me, that meant posting about once a week about something that happened to me, right? And I remember during one of the posts I talked about is how truly I can do everything everyone else can, but it's just a little differently, right? Instead of being able to go upstairs when I'm traveling, I may need to get a couple of my friends to carry me up the stairs because maybe there isn't an elevator or maybe the ramp is too steep or, right? But those are things that people can connect to because at the heart of what I'm posting about is the challenges that come through life and how we can work together to create a better solution, right? So it's about how do you tie these underlying themes and these underlying messages that people can connect to, right? Because somebody may not be able to connect to the fact that they were born, that they don't have a disability, right? But they connect to rising above challenges, working collectively towards something better. And what was the outcome of that, right? Maybe I made a couple of new friends that I never would have made. But now that's awareness. It's on a smaller scale. But by sharing, that's how you start the conversation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've been encouraged to share my story quite a bit recently. And if you check out the episode with Isaac Belden a couple of weeks ago, you're going to hear me go through my story. I know we've talked about it previously, but you know, the first time you share your story, it sucks because maybe you haven't dealt with the issues that have been, you know, piling up over the years, or maybe it sucks because when you hear it out loud, it has a different meaning or a different impact. So getting through those, you know, internal barriers just within yourself alone has a huge, it's a huge hill that you're looking at and you're like, how am I going to get over this thing? But then once you get over it and once you start doing it, the pain associated with the story changes and it turns and it builds momentum. And it's really easy, becomes, at least for me, really easy to spit your story out and then get moving on to the things that are really important and really matter. But if you can't connect to a story, if you can't connect to a phase in life, it doesn't matter what your story is or how you tell it, because no one, it's not landing. It doesn't have that impact. And it sounds like you found a way to really hit home with that by relating it to the difficulties that we all face.
Exactly. And I think sometimes the biggest barrier, right, is ourselves, right? Is we, and when we think about it, the story that we're sharing is sometimes our everyday life, right? What I face every morning is I have to plan out my day. And that for me is very routine. Or for somebody else, it can be just, you know, waking up, throwing on clothes and just roll, you know, and just going out the door. And for me, it may mean waking up 15 minutes earlier to get, you know, to shower, get ready, make breakfast, all that. So it's thinking about more strategically, but at the heart of it is still, what is your routine in comparison to mine? And how can we find that synergy, right? How can we connect deeper? And the only way we can connect deeper is by being vulnerable and sharing, right? And whatever that means, really support your members, right? Support the folks who want to be spokespeople, because that is so difficult to find. And when you find one, see how you can, what resonated with them, right? What made them want to share their story, and how can you get others to do that as well?
That is so perfect. I know through my life and the struggles that I've faced, and again, check out the story with Isaac Belden. But then you learn all these different lessons as an adult. Like, we got into credit card debt and we're like, this sucks and no one talks about money. And then we found Dave Ramsey and started working our way through. But as soon as we started working our way through our problem, we couldn't help but talk about it, because when we found the answer, when we got the solution, it became so easy and so clear to us. We could understand how everyone wasn't talking about this. And what a lot of time happens is we feel this shame, like somehow, how can we be so fill in the blank to experience this problem? Well, it's not that whatever the fill in the blank feeling is, but as soon as you talk about it, as soon as you start talking about whatever the thing you're facing is, it becomes so much easier, because you realize you're not alone. There's other people going through the same struggles. There's other people that use wheelchairs that don't have the same genetic disability that you were born with, but have something else going on, short-term or long-term, depending on the situation. And all of a sudden you have a common thing to talk about and something to rally around and realize, oh yeah, well, I did that stupid stuff when I was a kid. I completely understand. And as soon as you mention it, as soon as you open the gates and start talking about whatever the thing you're struggling is with, you get this clarity. You start getting this relief. You realize that you're not alone and that we can do it together. And I think that's pretty powerful.
Exactly. And how can one of the, and I kind of touched upon it, was, you know, sharing it on LinkedIn every week. And then what I did, which was really successful, is I started tagging people in my life that I knew or that I think would find it interesting, right? That they have faced some similar personal challenge or something similar to that. Because in that way, what you're doing is you're giving your post or your message a starting audience, right? And if they really resonate with it and they connect with it, that's awesome. Because right, with them just commenting on it, that really gets the ball rolling, right? And now they get visibility into your network, into your story, into your mission, and you also get visibility into their network, right? And that's how you start the conversation. You have to kind of, you have to be vulnerable and you have to be open, right? And don't you don't have to be perfect, right? If you don't like writing, then you can do like a quick, like 1 minute video and post it on social media, and people may resonate more with that. I think the biggest thing is as we're growing, as we're trying to grow our nonprofits, is to really do away with the idea of perfection and really strive more for momentum, right? Because if everybody understands that the first time you film a video or the first time you write something, it's not going to be Hollywood worthy, right? You're not going to be the script writer for a major motion picture. But that's also what connects more with people, is that authentic, genuine nature will connect much more deeply with others.
Oh, absolutely. And I want to jump on that Hollywood comment real quick, because we don't see how many takes it took to shoot a scene. They might have gone through 35 takes. He comes out, forgets his lines. He comes out again, says, what were the stupid lines? He comes out, he nails the lines, and they're like, hey, man, what was with that stupid look on your face? Oh, this look? I was trying to remember my lines. And you don't see all the times they had to shoot and reshoot and shoot and reshoot and coach through there and then recoach. And then, is your blood sugar low? Did you grab a donut because you're a little cranky? And then they had to reshoot again. And you don't see that behind the scenes. You only end up seeing the finished product. And we forget so many times that the people that you see on Facebook and Instagram or YouTube that have made it, they now have production studios and they have quality cameras and they have a team that puts together these things. You think Jay Shetty just gets on his phone and hits record and then puts it on live? Maybe when he started, but now he's got a whole production team behind him that helps him get that stuff clear and helps get that stuff wonderful. Your first chapter is not going to look like his 50th chapter, so don't feel bad whatsoever. And if you're nervous about doing Facebook Lives, I know I'm plugging my stuff a little bit today. I've got an interview with Trish Lito, who teaches you how to do 5-minute Facebook Lives. I personally have problems with the camera, so I have a picture. I have a little sticky note that's in front of my face, so I'm looking at the camera not to see what I look like. I know what I look like, and I know the camera sometimes is kind to me and sometimes is not so kind to me, so I just cover my face up so it's not a distraction. Francisco, what do you do? You were talking about Instagram before we got started, because you're on an alumni board. And you found a nice little way to kind of get the alumni involved in what you're doing. If you could share that with us real quick, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for asking about that. I think, and what was the driving purpose behind this was, how can we retain our members, right? I think one of the most difficult things that happens when we're in the nonprofit world is, we always want to keep growing our membership. We that's always the goal, right? Because the more people we have, the more our voice grows stronger. But in that pursuit, we can't forget to champion those who have already given their time, who have already invested their resources in it. And in this alumni group, you know, I had to build a social media presence from the ground up, right? We had the channel, we had the Facebook, the Instagram and the LinkedIn, but nobody had really ever posted on it. And one of the first ideas that came to my mind was, let's use the power of visuals. Let's use, and it's kind of like what they do on Instagram stories, where it's be like a cool little, like it's like a small graphic with like the logo, maybe like a little mission statement. And then it will say like the person's name, what is one passion of theirs, what have they been obsessed with recently, and what was their favorite event that they attended, right? So, and the questions were very purposeful. One, with the name, you kind of get to know who is behind the picture. With the what are they passionate about, that gives insight into who they are, which is one of the ways we connect with as people. What are they obsessed with kind of gives you an idea of kind of what drives them, what inspires them, what motivates them. And the last question is, what was their favorite event they attended? That will help connect them with the people who are already there. Because when people read it on the Instagram story or on Facebook or on LinkedIn, they're like, oh, I remember that event too. And that was my favorite one. And at the beginning, I had to email people and kind of be on their case and be like, hey, I want to feature you. Can you please answer these four questions? And then last week it was really cool because I posted one and then somebody said, hey, I don't know if you want to do this, but here's mine and I would love to see it. And I was like, wow, this is awesome. Cause now it takes that time, you know, it saves me time because somebody already did the work for me. But on a larger level, what it means is people really like this and they like it because they're being spotlighted, they're being highlighted, they're being valued and incentivized to participate when they weren't before. And even the other alumni group, which is of alumni who are much more prominent than myself and my peers, because I'm in the younger professional version of it. They've asked to take my ideas, right? They've asked me for like the templates and the different things that I do. So that's really awesome, right? To see that this one little visual that didn't take me a lot of time to do can have such an impact. And it's those micro things we do that can have a large impact.
Absolutely. And I really love the idea, the passion, and that it's working. And so I think to myself, I was like, if I'm in a different nonprofit, right, I'm not running an alumni site, what might this idea look like in my nonprofit? Well, if you've hosted an event, you can ask people that have donated or shown up, like, hey, what was the spark that caused you to give today? And you can take that quote and pair it with your logo, and all of a sudden you have a little piece of content to put out there. When you start collecting these over the years or through larger groups of people, you now have what looks like everyone else saying why they think you're so awesome or your vision is so awesome or what story impacted them, like Francisco's story. You know, what was the reason that caused you to give today? And that simple little question all of a sudden starts creating content for you to put out there. I know like most websites are just a digital pamphlet and they don't really give you a whole lot of information or reason to come back. But something like a news website has new articles all the time. So there's a reason to go back. Wouldn't it be cool on your, say, social media if you get to share one of these or two of these every week and people would start seeing like, man, this is really taking off. This is a thing. And studies have found that when they know that other people are doing the thing, they're much more likely to jump on the bandwagon. So if you're showing that people are donating and the reason that they gave to donate, all of a sudden they're going to start donating like, absolutely, I knew there was a reason I was in this group. I love what they're doing. And then hopefully, just like Francisco saying, they're going to send you their quotes without you asking.
Exactly. And just to touch a little bit more upon what you said, right, is I was very intentional that when I created this, I made it into a series, right? So I called it Member Monday. So people now, they know that every Monday, I'm going to be posting a little spotlight. But the thing is, since a lot of people, you know, on social media channels, they may not necessarily know who is posting it. They don't know that I had to try to flag down a person and get them to post. They just know it was posted, right? So that's kind of where I'm mentioning is sometimes we overthink it, right? Because we're like, oh, if somebody knows that it's this person posting it every single week, then they may not resonate with it. But the truth is what people care most about is getting to know another person and getting to know them. And from that Member Monday, I consistently post every Monday. But because I have that habit, now we're doing like Feature Fridays where we do like video interviews, right? And I'm really excited about that because in crafting this content and in putting out, we also have to remember that people consume it in different ways. Somebody can connect with a text paragraph, but you know, the overwhelming majority may like something visual because they don't need to, you know, stop and read it. They can hear it. And if you can do both, which I know you're very skillful at doing, right, is you post a little visual and you post a little snippet of audio, that you kind of get the best of both worlds with that too.
Absolutely. And you know, I have a team and I have different tools that I use. I use something called Headliner, and Headliner allows me to snag a little piece of audio like from these interviews that we're doing, and I can pair that with a graphic. In my case, I use my logo. And then they can put a little waveform in there. So there's a little equalizer that shows that there's a little bit of movement on this thing. And I like to take a good question and answer out of every episode. And it allows me to have something to help promote the show. Well, what that could look like for you is you can grab a quote out of there, go to Canva, throw it up on a graphic, post it on your Pinterest, or put it on your Instagram, or you take a still screenshot of someone that you're interviewing that's got a crazy background or something, and then you make a meme out of it and ask your group, hey, make the best meme you can out of this picture. And all of a sudden, people are involved and they start helping you create that content, because once people are involved and they feel valued, that's where they really jump on board and they're all in on your cause.
Yeah, I love that. And I think it's one of the things that we tend to overthink in the nonprofit world is content creation. We tend to think it has to be this big newsletter or this big booklet or this big pamphlet, right? But if we think about the trends of people, and I think I've read somewhere that people have the attention span of less than a goldfish does.
Well, I'm sorry, what was happening? I didn't pay attention to that right there. I got distracted.
I see what you did there. But yeah, it's like, how can we create micro content, right? And it's the simple things, as you said. Put a go on Canva, put a little, you know, whatever your brand colors are, put them on there, put a logo, put the quote. Because that's what people will remember. If you give something very digestible and something they can remember, like one or two sentences, that's going to keep at the top of their mind more so than an hour long video. I mean, it works, right? People consume content in different ways, but the more you can make it quick and actionable, the more that resonates.
Oh, absolutely. And I've talked in the past about reasons that people should start their own podcast or blog. One of them is content creation. And people are like, well, there's a lot of work and this and that. But from one interview, I already know that I can pull like five or six quotes out of this thing. I can make a couple different headliners and I can make a couple different graphics. From this one interview, I could have 15 or more pieces of content. And depending on what type of media, what kind of social media I'm into, I can have a graphic that works great on Pinterest and Instagram. I can get a little quote that's going to be phenomenal for YouTube, or excuse me, Twitter. I can get a section of this video where I can put the audio on a background, throw it on YouTube like I do. Check out my YouTube channel if you haven't. And my team told me I need to plug our show more during the episode. So I got you, team. I'm making sure to plug other content. But you can dissect these things. You can dissect these interviews. And if you are interviewing someone that has said, use your services as a nonprofit, well, if you record that via Zoom and you clip out the audio, you now have pieces of content for all sorts of social media that you're able to use. And you don't have to come up with the content. You can't be like, crap, it's Member Monday. Now I have to figure out whatever the thing is. You can talk to six people in a day and schedule that thing 6 weeks out, and you don't have to think about it. There's ways to do this stuff and get engaged and schedule it out so it's not taking up your time and allows you to get people involved in what you're doing, because that's what they're there for. They want to be involved and help out. I remember in our pre-interview, you mentioned things about strategic partnerships and getting involved with local organizations. How do you go about that?
You know, one of the ways that I did was to volunteer, right? To volunteer to be on these different boards, right? One of them was for the alumni group of the graduate school that I went to, right? Because now people see that your focus goes just beyond one cause, right? And to create partnerships, you have to kind of, it's this mix of kind of showing your values and your interests and your passions, right? And if you have to be a member of the community, or you have to, you know, participate in podcasts or interviews or different things, right? That's the beginning of partnerships. People have to know your story, your mission, and your vision, right? And one of the ways that I think you've been very skillful, and one of the ways that I would like to really touch upon, is podcasts, right? If we think about what is the creation of a partnership, it is truly a way that both people can get mutual value. And I know that one of the most tried and true ways right now is a podcast, right? Where we will collaborate and say, like, I'll be a guest on yours and you'll be a guest on mine. But that gets you that gets you the foot in the door to have conversations with business executives who could really boost your presence and your profile, and who may be willing to give a small snippet of their time to contribute to your strategic plan or your marketing plan or whatever it may be that you need help right here, right now.
Absolutely. And if you're doing an interview style show, you can interview, so let's say you're doing, I'm still in the Navy, so let's talk about veterans, right? Let's say you're doing something for veteran PTSD. You can and should interview other people in that space. If you have a nonprofit that is helping veterans with PTSD or suicide prevention or suicide awareness, you should be talking to other people in the industry, and you can get someone else's perspective. It gives you a little light to shine on what you're doing. It shows that you're not selfish, just, you know, dealing with your own cause. And the big secret behind doing podcasts is you learn all these things you might not have learned by reaching out to people and getting their behind the scenes look. Like, I was super impressed with Francisco when he told me he was doing these member Mondays and highlighting his alumni. I'm like, I can take that. I can roll with that. There's something that I can apply somewhere else. And that's something that I can use for my clients to help them when they maybe don't understand how to do social media, and walk them through a little snippet of how to do this. And they'll be like, oh, that's super easy. That's something that I can do on my own without having to hire it out or go through the board for the big process. That's something I can implement today that's real quick and easy, that's going to have a huge impact. But getting those interviews and learning from your guests and connecting with people, that's the way to do it. It's networking in this digital age. We're using Zoom now. I know there's a lot of people that are burned out on video calls. I get really energized because I just love, love, love meeting new people. And if you're out there listening and you haven't talked to me yet, get on my calendar. Let's have a conversation. Let's figure out how we can collaborate or do something differently. If you're a nonprofit and you're not talking to other nonprofits in your space, there's enough money to go around. Start collaborating. Start working on how we can do a co-sponsored event together and bring in everybody. It's not about those who gets that $10, whether it's you or we get the $10. It's about the mission.
Exactly. Exactly. It's being resourceful with the resources you have, and also learning from others. I really love that. And the thing is, you know, being strategic partnerships and being a value to others isn't necessarily a business deal, right? It can be you recommending that person to be a guest for another podcast that, you know, right? Like, after this interview, I can be like, I could have been a guest on another podcast and be like, you know who you should interview? You should interview Travis Johnson, the nonprofit architect, because he has a great mission, a great vision. He's inspiring people, motivating people, right? And people will remember that. That's a small, something small that I can do, but the value of it is much more possible, right? How can we continue once after this interview, right, or the interview that you do, how can you continue to nurture that relationship, right? If the person talked about leadership and you run into an article about how great leaders inspire others because they bring out their self-confidence, just send that article out to that person, because then they'll see that you're listening to what they're saying. And giving value is more than just a business deal, right? Creating a partnership has to start somewhere. And it can be as simple as saying, this is a podcast that I really love and you should listen to it too. And then you can connect with something.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a lot of people that talk to me about starting up a new nonprofit and what they should do. And I love those calls, and this my specialty. That's what I really care about, where I'm strong about. But then there's people that contact me and they're like, hey, what do you know about grant writing? And I'll say, nothing. I don't know anything about grant writing. And then I will refer them to my former guests like Daniel D and Kate West. And Kate West actually teaches grant writing. So if you're looking to get into it, if you're looking to do it, that's an episode you should listen to, and then contact them and let them help you. That's not my zone of genius. And that's okay. I don't have to have all the answers. Got to pet the dog because she's over here whining at me. You haven't touched me in 10 minutes. What are you doing?
What's funny is if you can involve pets in what you're doing, that's a secret. Well, if you can involve your members' pets, I know that's one idea that I have going on that I want to do, is like instead of Member Monday, it could be like Pet Tuesday, right? And that's like cool because everybody connects to that. And think about ways that you can make user-generated content, right? How can you make the people that you're working with create the content? If you're a one-person team, that will help you tremendously to get your message out and to get your message out in a way that's efficient and productive.
Absolutely. And I had an interview with Patrick Kirby, who's an amazing, energetic fundraising guru, who says you can't ask for the big gift if you don't know the name of their dog. It's kind of funny and it's kind of serious, but if you don't, what he's saying is if you don't really know them, then what gives you the right to ask for this big gift? And if you don't know the name of your dog, then you really don't know them at all. Hey, Francisco, this has been great. Where can people get a hold of you?
Absolutely. So people can get a hold of me on LinkedIn as Francisco Aller Garcia, MBA. I only studied 6 years of my life just to get an abbreviation. That's all I did.
6 years boiled down into three letters.
Absolutely.
I'm with you. I've got 20 years naval service, and eventually that's going to boil down to VET, three letter.
It's all about, and thank you for your service. I just have to mention that. Thank you for your service, and thank you for everybody who served and who really has allowed this country to be as great as it is, right? I think that's something that I'm very blessed and honored, right, is to be a citizen and to contribute, right, with this story and to hear from you. And people can also find me on Instagram and Twitter as Vitamin Cisco. And I was very purposeful in calling myself Vitamin Cisco because after a lot of the conversations with a lot of people that I meet, people are like, man, I feel like I just got like a dose of energy. So I was like, let me play off of that. And then that's what's cool, right? Is because people will always remember something like that because it's out of the box. So sometimes be creative and be playful with your ideas because that may resonate more than following the trend.
Yeah, if you're not having fun with it, why are you even doing it?
Exactly.
Hey, thanks so much, Francisco. I'll have all those details in the show notes. If you didn't catch the Vitamin Cisco in there, you're not sure how it's spelled, check the show notes. It'll be in there. I'll have links to all the different time hacks in here when we switch topics and all the cool stuff we talked about. And hey, like, comment, subscribe, share this thing. If this is something that you think other people need to hear or could benefit from, hey, give us a share so they can get all the benefits too. We'll talk to y'all next time. Thank you so much, Francisco. I can't wait to see what we do in the future.
Thank you, Travis.
You've been listening to The Nonprofit Architect. To listen to all our past shows, visit http://nonprofitarchitect.org. And be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our show. Thank you.